Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, okay, singles out there, are you looking for love in all the wrong places? And are you ready to stop procrastinating on your love life and find love this year? Well, today's program is all about why you should hire a matchmaker. Now, I know you're sitting there going, what, Dr. Terry? What in the world are you talking about? A matchmaker? But yes, hiring a matchmaker is the most efficient, proactive way that you can find love in this busy and competitive dating climate. My guest today is Lori Burzak, Carolina's matchmaker for more than a decade, with countless marriages and babies resulting from her matchmaking, coaching, and expert advice. Lori has an MSW and is internationally recognized as one of the top matchmakers in the world by industry experts and clients. She is known for her innovative matchmaking and has been interviewed for her expertise in many national media outlets such as Fox, CBS, NBC, The Charlotte Observer, and The Charlotte Magazine. Her website is carolinasmatchmaker.com. Now, listeners, I want you to know that I met Lori at a conference last November and again in March. I love, love, love her expert advice and information about relationships, dating, and all things love. She's passionate about helping others find love, and I know her clients are drawn to her warmth, her sincerity, and her ability to put a person at ease. So welcome to the program, Lori. It's so great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Terry. It's great to be here.
Oh, it is so great. And I just saw you in March. So yes. It's like I can see you in my mind. Now, Lori, listen, I literally gave a presentation last night to a woman's group about relationships. And I was speaking to one of the women afterwards who was divorced and wanted to find love again. I told her, you should definitely hire a matchmaker. And her response to me was, what? I didn't even know that they existed, right?
Exactly.
So tell listeners what a matchmaker does and what types of clients do you work with?
Absolutely. So in terms of what a matchmaker does, is it's a very personalized service. So what I do is people hire me, and I am essentially an executive recruiter, consultant, and coach. So people hire me, and I have a very large database, Terry, of thousands of single people in the Carolinas, North and South Carolina, that have kind of what I like to say, thrown their hat in the ring. They've filled out an application, and they're people that I can draw upon for my clients. I have a very small client list, and that's how most matchmakers are, to my understanding. And I can talk about the difference between a matchmaker and a dating service in a moment. So we have a small client list, and then we go to work for our clients. So I will do whatever I need to do for my client to help them find love.
So wait, do you interview them first? Yes. So you ask them questions about their values, their interests, what they want in a partner.
Yes. And then I have to read between the lines, because just because somebody tells me they're looking for one thing doesn't necessarily mean that that's exactly what would be great for them. So I need to draw upon my experience, both with my master's in social work, as well as all the experiences that I've had over the last 12 years interviewing people and getting to know people and really honing in on what would be best for them, in order for me to create a prospect list of people that I think would be wonderful matches for them. And then, of course, I get them out on the dates. For me, in my service, it's a blind date. We organize the entire thing for people. We even make the reservation. The gentleman always pays, whether he is the paying client or not. So that's an important distinction with my service, is not everybody needs to be a client in order for them to be able to meet each other. Right. And that's where the recruiting comes in. And that's what my staff and I are best at, is recruiting and screening. We do background checks so that by the time you actually sit down at a nice dinner with the person that we're introducing you to, you have a lot of things aligned, everything from personality type to sense of humor to faith or emotional intelligence, educational level, all that good stuff.
And so now back at the beginning, when you're interviewing Lori, are you then finding a match for them based on what they actually said they want or what you think might be good for them?
It's both. And, you know, I'll push people in terms of the parameters that they're outlining for me. Sometimes a woman will say, oh, I want a man who's 6 foot or taller. And I say, you know what? The average height of an American man is 5'9". So are you open to a little bit shorter, especially if they're, you know, the 5'3" or whatnot? Or I try to sort of take what they say. The superficial things is what I push back on. If it's a morals and ethics or faith, that kind of thing, I'm not going to push back on that because that's the important stuff. But I try to really help. I don't want to paint somebody in a corner or let themselves paint themselves in a corner. Like, for example, if a woman says to me, I'm looking for a gentleman who, when he walks into the room, has so much charisma, everybody turns around to look. And I'm thinking, why in the hell would you want a partner that all the women are gawking after anyway? Like, what is that going to bring to you, to your table? So I discuss things with them and try to sort of get to the bottom of why they're requesting the things that they want and why that might be important, and try to help them shift. With some of
how
the
long
that
is
they're
that
attached
first
to.
Interview with you then? I mean, is it long?
Yeah, it is. It's about an hour. It's about an hour and a half. And then what happens? And then I decide, honestly, if I want to take them on. And that's kind of the tricky part, is you want to make sure that you bring clients. I want to make sure I bring clients in that are going to be able to receive my coaching, because there's a lot of coaching that's involved. Especially after somebody goes out on a date, they're getting a date survey in their email. They're also speaking to me or one of my staff members on the telephone to find out exactly what went well. And if it didn't, why not? So that I can sharpen myself for the next introduction that I make. Mm-hmm. So it's a very precise kind of a science. And at the same time, it's not a science at all. It's based on a lot of intuition, and it's based on good listening skills. So I'm always trying to build that repertoire for myself and for my staff, so that we are really honed in on being able to receive the messages that are straightforward as well as what's under the surface.
Right. And how are you different then? I know you said you were going to touch on this, from dating online or dating apps. What do you tell people when they come to you why you're different or why they should really hire a matchmaker?
Well, here's the problem with dating apps, and I'm all for it. Sometimes I'll get a client online dating and help them with every aspect of it, because I'm not going to ever put down online dating. But the problem, it's multifold. Number one, so many times people are online dating and they experience fatigue. Mm-hmm. They're all excited at the beginning. They get tons of messages or not, but sometimes when they do, they get inundated. Then they don't know how to respond to everyone. And they kind of shut down mentally. It's kind of like a part-time job. You need to put time into it. And you also need to be in a good headspace and not get too emotionally involved, because people will show up for a minute and then you'll have conversations. Then all of a sudden they're gone. It could mean they're not interested. It could mean they're dating someone else. It could mean they shut down their account. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if it's authentic. People are in a vacuum. And that's the difference, is there's not a third party that's involved that's actually doing the screening, especially the background checking, which I think is so integral to anyone, especially a woman, I was going to say, but really it goes both ways.
Both ways, right? It so that third party screener facilitates that you're getting someone who is interested, right, in being matched, and second is motivated to be matched, and then probably third that you've already done the background check, so at least there's safety.
Right. And we get people to the table. When you're online dating, you could have a pen pal for a year and a half, and people don't actually meet. And that's the whole problem, is they don't meet, and then there's miscommunications, and then it just never happens. With my service, people actually meet one another, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. The other problem with online dating, which everybody complains about, is people are posting old photos and they're lying. Right. And that's a big issue, especially with my singles that want that are interested in dating somebody who's fit and who takes care of themselves. There's nothing worse than showing up to a date and you look around, and you're like, wait, that's not the same person that, and then people don't want to be rude and say, well, you don't look like your picture, so I don't want to have dinner with you anymore. So, but I never understand why somebody would actually set themselves up for that. So when I get my clients online dating, which I'll do from time to time, I'll make sure that my professional photographer takes a full length photo so the people know exactly what they look like. And if they're interested, they'll reach out. If they're not, no big deal.
Now,
so
do
it's
you
very
show your
transparent?
Right. And now, do you show your clients' photos as
no.
they know? So it, when you said blind, it really is blind.
It's a blind date. We do.
Now,
give
do they know anything about them? They
yes. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
What do they know?
Oh, yeah. We'll go through their bio. You know, we're not going to tell the ins and outs of why somebody got a divorce or, you know, some tragic situation or health situation, but that's on them to talk about. But we'll talk about what they have in common. We'll talk about faith. We'll talk about a little bit about relationship history, if they've been married or not, if they have children, you know, kind of the important stuff so that they have something to draw upon for the introduction.
So you as a matchmaker, then I really have to have a lot of trust in you as an individual,
yes.
because basically I'm saying, here I am, Lori, you know, flaws and all, mm-hmm. please match me with someone who you personally think would be good for me. And I'm trusting you in terms of the photo, in terms of that it's matching my interests, my faith, my emotional maturity, et cetera, correct?
Correct.
I love it. I love it.
Yes.
Now, do you think matchmaking has changed at all since, let's say, you know, my parents or grandparents were dating when they were fixed up? I know my grandmother told me that she was matched up in Poland, right?
Nice.
And,
yes.
You know, it was somebody who said, okay, you over there, match them. You know, I'm going to match you guys up. And I think you're right for one another. I know your families. So do you think matchmaking has changed?
I do. I think it's changed because of the families is often not a part of the matchmaking anymore. Insofar as the matchmaker knowing both sets of family. And it is such an important part of the actual match, which I think unfortunately isn't taken into account anymore. But that's where the faith piece can be a very important part of the match. Whatever mm-hmm. faith somebody is, or if they're not faithful at all, that can be sort of some of the undercurrent foundational aspects of making the match. In terms of, has it changed? I almost wonder if in the olden days, a lot of times marriage, I think, was looked at in a different way in terms of finances. And, you know, how can the man take care of the woman piece? And I think nowadays women are working. And so they're looking at marriage in a different way.
Right.
And they're looking for different things in a marriage. And you're the expert with that, obviously. But we're looking at for different things now in a life partner. Sometimes I think we may be looking for too much. And that would be a curious conversation for you and I to have at some point.
Yes. As I do think they're looking for too many. We've talked about, right? You know, that people
have
high expectations and then they're bound to get frustrated because no one person can meet all of those, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And once you can come to some acceptance of that, whether you're in a relationship or not, I think that's what can kind of bring some peace to the relationship for sure. So I think that's kind of what's changed with matchmaking through the years, if that makes sense.
Absolutely makes sense. Now, do you think matchmaking is good for singles of all ages, or is there a particular age that it might be better for?
Well, it is rare that a 20-something will hire me. Sometimes they will if they're a little shy or they have really tapped out their social networks. But sometimes I'll sit with a 20-something, they'll just hire me for an hour or so. And they just want some new and fresh ideas on how to meet people on their own. They're not at the point of frustration yet. You know, they haven't perhaps started a family. There's nothing really holding them back at this point from finding love. And they're not feeling that biological clock ticking. But I'll have a woman in her mid-30s, sometimes early to mid-30s, that they're so excited about getting onto the next stage. They're excited about starting a family, and they'd like to have some time with their husband to be prior to having to start having a family. And they'd like to fast track it a little bit. And that's right. What hiring a matchmaker is so good for, is really creating a lot of really great opportunities for someone, in a quicker way than if they're out there trying to do it on their own and sort of going about their life thinking, oh, I'll just meet somebody organically through a friend or at the grocery store or when I'm out at the pub. And it doesn't always happen, especially in today's day and age when people are stuck, their nose is stuck in their phones, they're not looking about as they used to be.
Right. And people are so busy. They're doing so many different things, whether they're going to the gym and then they're going to volunteer and they're going to work and they're going to their family of origin and their friends. So we really don't have the time either.
Exactly.
So what type of client, who's your typical client and how many dates does, you know, your typical client go out on before they actually say, yes, Lori, this is the person?
Well, my typical client, I would say, is someone who is mid-30s through, I don't know, mid-60s, I'd say, both men and women. And I have observed that when somebody goes out with someone about five times, this is just an observation, that it turns into 6 months or more.
Wow.
Of a relationship.
The same person five times, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because do most people just go out on one with one person and they continue, or do they come back and say, Lori, I need somebody else?
Well, what happens with me is on average, I make my introductions once every 4 to 6 weeks, which really gives somebody an opportunity to go out with someone a few times if they're so inclined. And people usually know rather quickly if they're interested in seeing someone again. So all the while I'm still working, I'm still networking, recruiting, screening people out in person for my client. And when the client comes back to me and says, okay, I'm interested in my next match, it didn't work out with this person, then I have somebody lined up for them to meet. Or they might say, you know what, I want to give this a go. I don't want to be dating more than one person at a time. Most people, by the way, are not interested in multiple dating. They really just want to find someone and be done with it. So we sort of are in touch with our clients every week to 2 weeks to have those conversations. How are you doing? How's it going? Coaching, you know, he hasn't been in touch with me the way I want him to. Okay, well, let's have a conversation about how do you talk to him about how you want to be conversed with. If you don't like all the texting, then tell him, I'm not a texter. I really would appreciate a phone call. I'd love to hear a voice. You know, how do we have those conversations that are sometimes hard, especially in the beginning of a relationship, but are so important?
Right. So that's good. So as a matchmaker, you're saying, first of all, your typical client is highly motivated, wants to be in a relationship, a serious relationship with someone between the ages of 30 to 60, and that you as a matchmaker not only are matching them, but you give them coaching throughout.
Yes, correct.
You know, and before they go out on the dates, too, you give them coaching.
Correct. Yes. And it could be that we coach them on what to wear, or if they're a little nervous, here's a list of great questions you can go to that are open-ended. How do you treat the other person? How do you close out the date? How do you get in touch after the date? There's a myriad of things that we go over just so that the client feels very comfortable.
That's great. So really, I mean, you're an all-inclusive kind of service,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Which many other
difference.
Dating services are not.
Exactly. Dating services, really, it's just they're matching based, I think, on age, and that may be it. I'm not sure. But there's a lot of people that are unhappy with dating services when it's just like one pool of people. They keep trying to match each other. And then they come to me and they think that my agency is going to be like that, but it's really not at all. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a stigma I need to get around.
Right.
But when somebody hires a matchmaker, I don't want them to hire me out of desperation. I want people to hire me because, like, I'm incredibly intuitive. I have great resources. I know how to screen people out. This is an opportunity. It's like hiring a consultant when you're, you know, any kind of professional.
Right.
Like, I hire interior decorators. I hire lots of different types of people. I don't have to be skilled at every single thing in life. This is my skill set.
Right. And basically what you're saying, Lori, is if you really want to find love, if you want to stop procrastinating, like I said at the beginning, why not hire an expert who is all inclusive, will give you everything and has not only the resources, but the matches as well for you. So hire me just like you would hire somebody to work on your car, your home, your body as a trainer. Hire me.
Yes.
Now, based on all of your experience and matching so many people over, you know, a decade of time, mm-hmm. what do you think is the number one quality that's so important for people to match on that you really look for?
I would say emotional intelligence is a very important piece. And when I say that, I mean really being able to process what has gone on in your lifetime that has taken you to the place where you are now on your own looking to find love. Have you learned from previous relationships? What did you learn? And how are you going to be moving forward with your future mate so that you can be successful in your next match? And there's some people that are still in denial. There's some people are still very angry with their spouses. Those people are hard for me to work with, I'll be honest with mm-hmm. you. And I don't often, and I dig when I'm screening somebody out for my client. If I see any kind of anger management issue or somebody that's not taking responsibility, there are two sides to every story. If you can't take responsibility for your side of this story, then I often will not make that match.
And so is this general quality of an individual, or do you ask a specific question to get at emotional intelligence?
Well, there's different ways to find out about emotional intelligence, as you know. So when I ask them about different circumstances and really how do they see the world, that's how I sort of drill it down to figure out what that looks like for them.
Mm-hmm. And so basically this, it's an overall approach as well to your life, to your past, to relationships in general. Mm-hmm. And we all know that people who are more optimistic and mm-hmm. positive about, you know, the glass is half full rather than half empty, you know, attract other people and mm-hmm. are much more likely to see the good in others as well. So I think that's wonderful. And that's such a good trait. I mean, I know from my own work that that's such an important quality to let go of the past, let go of the anger or the longing that you have mm-hmm. for the past, and to see growth and positivity even through challenges in a life or in your life.
Exactly.
Now, what inspired you or motivated you to become a matchmaker? And we only have a few minutes left, if you can believe it or not. But just briefly, what motivates you now or in the past to be a matchmaker?
Well, I am still so excited and motivated about my life's calling. I whistle to work in the morning. I'm so happy to walk into my office every day. I look forward to Monday mornings, which I know a lot of people in life don't. But this is so much more than just work and a job for me. This really is my mission in life. And I have always been the person that connects people, whether it be for jobs, friendships, whatever it is. And so in my mid-30s, I realized that I had something big that I was meant to do. And I went through a life's journey and experience to try to figure out what that was. And I came to this through various different ways, including learning and growing as an individual, and just a lot of soul searching. Read some books, worked with some teachers, talked to a lot of people, and then just decided to plunge into it.
Oh, I love that. And not only can I hear your passion and motivation, Lori, but listeners, when I met Lori, you can see it and hear it, you know, when you meet her face to face as well. And I know it's a passion. And even like you said, coming to work on Monday mornings, you're happy. You can't wait to hear how everybody did right over the weekend. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Lori. What a wonderful discussion. I loved it. And listeners, if you want to connect with Lori Burzak, Carolina's Matchmaker, please visit her website at carolinasmatchmaker.com. You can also connect with her on Facebook and Instagram at Carolina's Matchmaker and on Twitter at Carolina's Match. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships lives be the best they can be. My website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.